to the book of John, John 14. So as it is, as you've already heard, we do not have bulletins this morning. And it's funny how you, you know, you get to where you depend on those things, you know, and I love them. But we don't have to have those things, man. Look, we got the good book. We got the good book, and that's all we need. That's our manual for life. Okay, we got our verses on the monitor this morning. Let's read John 14, verses 4 through 6. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We need you. We are nothing without you. Let us turn our eyes and our attention and our affection towards you. Thank you for your anointing in this place and your will being done. Thank you, Father God, that we are going to leave here way, way better than when we came in. That we're going to leave here optimistic and excited and ready to be about what you've called us to do. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church building said, so God is good. God is good. Go ahead and give the Lord some praise. Do it. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We bless you, Lord. So what we got going on in here is the book of John. John shows us seven I am statements in his gospel. So when we see an I am statement, these are statements by Jesus Christ. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. What Jesus Christ is saying in a nutshell, he's saying, I am God. I am God. And what John is pointing out to us in Scripture, he's saying, this is the Messiah that you have been looking for. This is the Son of God. And so we have these seven I am statements. And you say, well, why is I am important? Well, let's remember that back in Exodus, one of the names that God the Father chooses to reveal himself as is the great I am. Moses in the wilderness sees the burning bush. He goes to the burning bush. God the Father speaks to him. God speaks to him. He says, look, Moses, hey, baby, look, I know you've been out here for 40 years doing the shepherd thing and all this, but I'm calling you back to Egypt. I have called you to set my people free. I need you to go talk to Pharaoh. You're the man for this job. And Moses kind of goes back and forth. I'm not the man, yada, yada. But anyways, he says, well, who in the world would I say you sent me? And he said, tell him I am sent you. So that's one of the names of God. And like I've said from time to time, I love that God says, I am, that I am the I am. I am the great I am. Because when Paul's going through something, I like to remember that I am, God is, I am everything that I need for whatever I'm going through. Amen. He is everything. So God the Father says, I am. And then Jesus Christ has these seven I am statements where he is proclaiming, I am the Son of God. I am God in the flesh. And so we got one of those that we're going to talk about today. We're in the upper room. We're in the Last Supper. Jesus is spending some quality time with his disciples just before his betrayal in the garden, his arrest in the garden, and his fake mock court leading to his crucifixion. So it's down to the wire. All the huge ministry things have already been done in his earthly ministry. Now he's just hanging out and sowing into the lives of his disciples for these last precious hours. And Jesus had made it abundantly clear. He said several times, he spoke several times about his death and resurrection. But now, in the upper room, I think it's become abundantly clear to the apostles that Jesus did not take them to Jerusalem to drive out the Romans. Here they are back in Jerusalem. And the disciples had this preconceived ideal that Jesus was going to come into Jerusalem, raise an army, kick out the Romans, sit on the throne, restore Israel to its former glory, like back in the days of David and Solomon. That's what they wanted. And they lived under the cruel, repressive, horrible hands of the Romans. But they had this preconceived ideal that Jesus never said that's what he came to town to do. He made it clear, I am going to be betrayed. He even told them the way he was going to die. And he said, you need to be willing to pick up your cross and follow me. Can I get a witness? So here we are in that Last Supper in the upper room. The disciples are bewildered and they're grief-stricken. They're just really confused and sad about what Jesus is talking about. So Jesus wants to bring comfort to his precious disciples. And he's already told them, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you. And the disciples are like, what are you talking about, man? What? They're just heartbroken. And then Jesus says this, our main text, John 14, verse 4 through 6. And you know the way to where I'm going? And then Thomas, you know him as Doubting Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? So I want to stop here for 1 second because Thomas is confused. He's sad. He's just going through a tough time like all the other disciples. And he's like, I don't understand what's going on here. And I don't know if you've ever been like that in your life, in your world, where you're like, you watch the news, you're like, man, I don't know. This ain't the world. What is going on, man? You know, if you ever get in a place to where life's just not making sense, or you just don't understand what God is doing behind the scenes, or you know scripture front and back, but you're just, the weight of everything that's going on is just really pulling you down. You know, we see Thomas, this guy who loves Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. You know, forget about the fact, you know, that, okay, so I guess the whole revolution and kicking the Romans out and all that, that's not happening, you know. But you're leaving us? They needed him. They loved him. They never thought, even though he told them this, they never thought this was going to happen. And now they're faced with this reality. And the weight of this had to be just catastrophic, unbearable. And sometimes we go through life and we're like, my God, I can't lose another love. My God, the weight of everything can be so heavy on us. And so I want to encourage you, when things aren't making sense, when you don't really have a clue what's really going on, like I said before, and I say it again, and I say it to myself all the time, we have to fall back on what we do know to be true. What I do know to be true. When I don't understand what's going on, let me grab a hold of God's promises. Let God's promises be that life preserver in the middle of a crazy ocean. Can I get a witness? So I picked out one of my faves. You guys know this is one of my faves. I actually look for opportunities to bring this verse out. And if you're looking for a favorite verse, I don't mind sharing this one with you. But Isaiah 41, verse 10. Look, when your world is going crazy, when your world is going crazy, grab a hold of what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? I'm talking about if you want to have peace when everything's falling apart, grab a hold of God's promises. Magnify the Lord. What do you mean magnify the Lord? I mean, begin to focus on him and see him for who he truly is. And whatever you're facing, no matter how painful or catastrophic it might be, compared to the one true God, it puts it into perspective that my God is big. My God is bigger than whatever I'm going through. Can I get a witness? So I grab his promises. Here's one for you, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. That's easy for you to say. Okay, this is what scripture says. Fear not. Have you seen the news lately? Yeah, I get it. Fear not. Have you looked at the bank account lately, Paul? Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. What a wonderful promise that God is telling us this morning. Don't be fearful about the world you're in. Don't be fearful about what the doctor said, because I am with you. The one true God, the great I am, is with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Well, hold on. How can that verse hold water when we're talking about the disciples and Jesus is saying, I am not going to be here much longer? Well, when he leaves, he says it's actually a good thing because now the Holy Spirit's coming. See, we're never alone, all right? Let me say it like this. You don't have to be alone. You can try and be a big, tough guy and face your problems on your own. But listen, you're going to run into things that you cannot handle on your own, all right? And God allows you to go through these things that are bigger than you so you realize, I can't do this, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. That part right there is so special to me. Do not be discouraged, because I'm your God, not some false God, not some weird, wacko, nutty philosophy by some dead guru somewhere. No, you belong to me. I belong to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Man, that just kind of says it all, doesn't it? Talking about grabbing a hold of one of God's promises, I will help you and I will strengthen you. Help is a big word. You know, I need help with a lot of things. I'll help you with that. I'll do what you can't do. You know what I mean? And then it says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's pretty dandy right there. It's talking about victory is what it's talking about. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not just saying I'll hold you up when you're weak. That's certainly implied in the verse. And he's going to be there for us. But what he's talking about is like when Sugar Ray Leonard, y'all remember that guy? It's like when Mike Tyson knocks that dude out, not Sugar Ray Leonard out, but the big tough boxer dude knocks the guy out. He wins, the crowd goes wild. He shoots, he scores, right? What? He wins the fight, and what does the referee do? He grabs his hand and holds it up. So we got a winner here, folks. That's what God's talking about. He said he's going to get you through to a place of victory. He's going to get you through that finish line. So he says, don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. So when things don't make sense, when you're going through a situation like the disciples, when you're like, I don't even know what's going on right now. You got to go to what you do believe, what you do know to be true. And that's God's word. Anyways, moving forward. Okay, so hold on 1 second. Let me enjoy some of the spring water from my Shemekla. God's country out there. Anywho, John 14 and verse 6. Now let's break apart this verse real fast. One of the great, beautiful I am statements of John. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So let's look at the very beginning. He says, I am. We know what he's saying when he says, I am. He's saying, I am God. I am the Son of God. I am the second man of the Trinity. I am. Now look at the very last part of this verse. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am God, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's a very exclusive statement. He's saying the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way you can be saved. And he's going to kind of lay this out for us in three separate little statements. I am the only way you have access to salvation, to eternal life, to forgiveness, to eternal life, heaven, relationship with God at all. To have a relationship with God the Father, you must go through Jesus Christ. Okay, now that's a big thing, man. It's not about being sincere or being devoted to some sort of cause. You cannot have eternal life. You cannot have a relationship with God except through Jesus Christ. Remember, I am the door. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. Okay, so now let's dig a little deeper. He says, I am what? I am the way. All right. Now, he's not just saying, I am one of the many ways. So this isn't real popular nowadays. I don't know if it's ever been really popular, but the truth is the truth, whether it's popular or not. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. You know, the truth is the truth. And whether or not you believe the truth doesn't change the fact that it's the truth. But if you grab a hold of that truth and apply it to your life, that's where the blessing is. So here is a truthful statement. He says, I am the way, not one of many ways, not just all roads lead to Rome. You know, it's not going to work that way. And so he says, I am the way. He is the only way, the one and only path to salvation. We can back this up. Scripture always backs up scripture. Okay, so let's look at Acts 4 and verse 12 right here. This is Peter and John before this religious council, this kind of puppet court. So Peter and John on their way to the temple to worship, heal a lame beggar. God uses Peter to heal this guy. And so a huge crowd kind of builds around this guy who everybody knew he was this lame beggar. Well, now all of a sudden he's been made whole. He's walking around and he's actually hanging on Peter and John, you know. So this huge crowd builds up. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, uses this opportunity to preach the gospel. So now they're in trouble with the religious elites who thought, when they recently killed Jesus Christ, that this whole Jesus Christ thing would die away, that they were done with it. Oh man, they didn't understand it at all. And you know, I think that it goes, it's important for us to say and to understand that I think the world doesn't understand Jesus at all. We know that in scripture, okay? But they don't know us either. They don't understand us. They don't understand us when they try and put us in box and sequester us and tell us we can't do this or we can't. They don't even know what they're messing with. You know, we're not like your regular group of folks, man. You can push us away. You can punish us. You can try and drown us. We're not going anywhere. We're just going to get bigger and bigger. That's how this thing works. You know, anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? So here's Peter and John. They get in trouble. So now they're in front of the fancy boys, the religious elite. And Peter uses this opportunity with these guys. He said, well, you want to know about this good deed that we did, healing this lame beggar, you know? It was through the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did this. The one you murdered. And then he says this brilliant and beautiful thing, talking to these people who had so much authority, but Peter and John understood the real authority structure and that they weren't worried about pleasing man or trying to fit in with the religious elite. They wanted to be God pleasers. They wanted to be obedient to God, all right? And so Peter says this in the face of these people that could basically have him put to death. Acts 4 and verse 12. This is what Peter says to these guys. And there is salvation in no one else, not Moses, who you guys basically are worshiping, not by your works. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Jesus is the way. He is the only way to salvation. Not one of many. Just grab on one, be sincere, and run it through to the end. Try and do more good things than bad things, and it'll work out. That's not how this thing works. It's not works-based at all. It's by accepting the way. It's by accepting Jesus Christ. He is our access to the Father. That's what he's talking about. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody cool? I forgot the macaroni. Yeah, I did. I'm warming up to it. I had one thing to do this morning. Before I leave to go to church, grab the macaroni and cheese. And I'm pulling up into the church, and I said, oh no, Sam. He's like, what? I forgot the macaroni. Sam said, ain't no big deal. I said, no, Sam. Sam, it's a big deal. It ain't a big deal for you, but it's a big deal for me. I gotta go talk to your mama. So anyways, Rachel Jean went and get the macaroni. And it is, anywho, let's talk about Jesus. Layers upon layers of cheese. Oh. when I was a kid, I liked chocolate and stuff like that. But now that I'm a grown up, I like cheese. Different types of cheese blended together over savory noodles. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, what's wrong with him? That's not the verse. I'm just pretending like maybe somebody's like, what? What? And I don't blame you. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, remember, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's trying to bring peace into their life. He's trying to bring comfort into them. And I'll be honest with you, after the upper room discourse or after what's going on in the upper room and the Last Supper, the disciples still aren't going to get it. They're not going to get it until the other side of the cross and the resurrection. We have the blessing of being able to look back and see how this whole thing plays out. But at the time, in real time, the disciples, man, they were just beside themselves with grief. Matter of fact, when they go to the garden and Jesus pulls Peter, James, and John to go with him deeper to pray, I think those guys were so distressed that they couldn't do anything but sleep, you know? Like, I've been in that situation. I've been in that situation where I was just so depressed, so stressed out, to where the only earthly remedy I could think of is just going and just lights out, man. So, anyways, I'm just trying to say that these guys weren't having a good time right now. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the way and I am the truth. Here it is again. He's not saying that he is one of many truths. He's saying, I am truth. I am the truth. All truth starts with me. In other words, let's look at it like this. If we were to stack up all the religions of the world on one side, all the philosophers, all this crazy, wacky, nut job stuff that people waste their time following, God forgive us, but whatever. All this other stuff. You got Muhammad, you got Allah, you got Buddha, you know, whatever, man. You got all this stuff. And then over here, all by himself, you got Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All these religions, because Christianity is a relationship, right? All these religions are false. Well, that's not true because I went to the mosque and you know, it was fine. And you know, they said some great things about Jesus Christ. No, man. Okay, these things are going to lead you down the wrong path. They're going to lead you straight into the pits of hell. I'm sorry, man. That's just how that works. They are false. But then you have Jesus, and what he says is true. He is the truth. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth. Can I get a witness? Yeah, come on. He certainly is the truth, and everything he says is true. Matter of fact, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 160. Psalm 119, if you're doing the reading plan that we're doing here in church, we're reading the book of Psalms. I think we've got like 3 months to read through the book of Psalms because there's so many chapters. Psalm 119 is the biggest chapter in all of Scripture. And it's, to boil it down, Psalm 119 is talking about the Word of God and the blessings of the Word of God. So Psalm 119 verse 160 says, look at that beauty. Look at that old cutie. Hey, cute, cute. Okay, so anywho, Psalm 119, look at your neighbor and say, anywho. Psalm 119 and verse 160, the sum of your word is truth. So Jesus is the Word made flesh. What's that? Well, let's simplify that. Scripture speaks of Jesus Christ. All Scripture speaks of Jesus Christ. It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. Old Testament, New Testament. Jesus is the Word made flesh. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. But talking about Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the sum of your word is truth. So if we could take the Word of God, if we could take Scripture and wrap it up in one word, that word would be the truth. You can't say that about any other sacred book. You can't say that about any guru, any religion. But when we're talking about Jesus Christ, it is the truth. It is the truth. Can I get a witness? Look at John 17 and verse 3. Now, these next two verses are super awesome. I mean, all scripture is awesome. Can I get a witness? This is Jesus's. We're going to jump into the high priestly prayer where Jesus, before his crucifixion, is praying for his disciples, praying for his apostles, praying for his followers, praying for you and me. We're involved in this prayer. Jesus Christ is actually praying for us in this prayer. And this is what he says. John 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. There's only one true God. And Jesus says, let them know you, the one true God. There's only one God. Everything else, no, that's not true. There's, when I went to my great-grandma's house, she had a statue of this that she prayed to, a statue of this that she prayed to, and a crucifix. I don't mean any disrespect, man, but I can't get up here and try and scratch behind your ears. You know what I mean? Those are idols. I'm not talking about the cross of Christ, but I'm talking about, you got a statue of Ganesh in your house. You probably want to get rid of that. So these are idols, man. And so with every idol, there is a demon ascribed to it. That's true, man. That's true. It's getting weirder all the time in here. Yeah. He's talking. It's the truth. So we don't need to say that these things are gods. There's only one true God, and that is our God. So you're not just wasting your time if you're worshiping or praying to some other religion or some other fake deity. You're actually praying to a demon, and you don't want to do that. A lot of reasons why you don't want to do that. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, the great I am, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then look at, we're talking about Jesus being the way and the truth. Look at John 17, 17, still in the high priestly prayer, where he's praying for his followers. He's praying for me and you. He says, this is what Jesus says, as he's talking to his Father, sanctify them. Sanctify those at Victory Life Church. Mature, spiritually mature your people. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Not by some standard that the world would say is truth, but sanctify them by Jesus Christ. Sanctify them in and through Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. He says, I'm the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And now he's going to say something else. Let's go to the next slide. Are you guys okay? John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth. There's only one way. That's Jesus. There's only one truth. That's Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the life. So he's certainly the source of all life. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 verses 1 through 3 plus verse 4, part A. And I do mean part A. Not really. I mean part A. In the beginning, this is talking about Jesus, the source of all life. In the beginning was the Word. Remember we talked about just a few minutes ago, Jesus is the Word made flesh? Now look at how John breaks this down in the very first chapter, very first verse of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Give the Lord some praise. I'm talking about that blessed Trinity. I'm talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What lives inside of us? Do we have a little Jesus walking around? His Holy Spirit dwells inside us. Can I get a witness? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things. Now think about this. We don't always think about Jesus in this role of creator. But look right here. All things were made through him. Specifically talking about Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus is the source of all life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Now look at verse 4. In him was life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. He is life. The only way to receive, not achieve, not something that you can grasp and work towards, but the only way to receive eternal life, is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's not just the source of life. He's not just the only way to receive eternal life. But he teaches us, he instructs us, as he sanctifies us, how to live a godly life. How to live that life that he wants us to live. Okay, so look, Matthew 10 and verse 39, and I believe this is our last verse. How about that? How's everybody doing? I can start over. I'm going to start over. In the beginning, God created. Oh, please stop it. Okay. Matthew 10, verse 39. He teaches us how to live that Christian life. We can't do it. You can't do it on your own. Trying to do all things through Christ. Matthew 10, verse 30, you're going to fail miserably if you try and do it on your own. But I can do all things through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So Matthew 10 and verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay, so that could be a little confusing. A little bit, you know. But so look at the paraphrase look at the Message Bible. Look at the Message Bible and see what it says. Matthew 10, verse 39. If your first concern is to look after yourself, then that's how we're wired. That's how we come into this world. Not saying that if you're not a Christian, you can't think about other people. Not saying if you're not a Christian, you can't be a good person, but it's not about being a good person. It's about accepting that gift. If your first concern is to look after yourself or your own life, you'll never find yourself. You'll never find that fulfillment in life. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, see, this is so counterintuitive to how the world just looks at things so differently, you know? And our flesh looks at things so differently, but the Spirit looks at things this way. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. So he teaches us how to live that life. He says, okay, here it is in a nutshell. Put yourself on the back burner so I don't have to go to college. I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I should just live off the government. No, I'm saying that, man. Look. But if you forget about yourself, he's saying, dude, it's not about you. It's not about you. Do you think Peter and John could stand up in front of the high priest and all these wacko nuts, knowing that they could have them killed if he was just focused on himself? That's the last thing he would do. If he was just focused on himself, when the lame beggar was like, hey, help me out, brother. What you need, your spiritual change? He would have just walked on by. But if you forget about yourself, put yourself on the back burner and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher. If you look to Jesus and you want to please Jesus, you'll find both yourself and Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking about we will have a fulfilled life, that abundant life, if we seek after him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I think I'm done, but I'm not done. I'm just verse done. Yeah. So, I found this thing out, and I thought that, well, this is just so super interesting that I really need to share it with my beloved, with my church family. So, let's go to the Old Testament real fast. You don't have to turn anywhere. But way before Jesus Christ made this bold and amazing statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life, way before that, God instructed Moses in the wilderness to build a tabernacle. Tabernacle means dwelling place. God told Moses to build a place of worship for my people, a place to put the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized, represented God's presence with his people. It was God's presence with his people, the Ark of the Covenant. This box. You ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? We're watching that next Sunday. Not here at my house. We actually watched it last Sunday. Anyways, Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle, this portable place of worship where they housed the Ark of the Covenant before Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. So for a very long time, the Ark of the Covenant was kept in this tabernacle, place of dwelling. So if you were to enter this tabernacle, there's three veils. So super cool, man. There's three veils, or three passageways, that you would go through to get to the most holy place, or to where God's presence was, or where the Ark of the Covenant was. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, so I wrote this down so I didn't mess it up. The first entryway, which would take you into the courtyard where they would do the sacrifices, the first entryway was called the Way. This is true. Here's a true statement. Just like the Golden Gate Bridge is called the Golden Gate Bridge. This bridge is called whatever bridge. Whatever. These entryways had names. The first one was called the Way. Now, to go into the holy place, that was called that well, or that entryway was called that veil, or that entryway was called the truth. So now I'm getting closer and deeper into God's presence, and I've done went through the way, the truth, and the last one into the most holy place is called the life. So these three entryways are called the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Christ is saying, I am the way to get to the Father. I just thought that was super, super cool, man. You know, that this thing that was hundreds of years before Jesus Christ walked on earth, Jesus was saying, I am the passageway to the Father. And you can't get to the Father unless you go through me. So I would like to invite everyone, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would like for you to do that today if you feel the calling to do that. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. I don't care about, you might have the most amazing and wonderful plans about your life, but only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. People come and go all the time. All the time, man. I've lost a lot of friends, you know, over the last month, almost one a week, from people I care about going to eternity. So I'm not trying to waste anybody's time. I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. But see, we're talking about Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, access to eternal life, access to salvation, access to a relationship with the Father. And you really need to make that commitment. You got to understand that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. It's not about being a good person. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once you do that, you're in God's family. You now have access to God the Father. Remember, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. When I pray, when me, Paul, I pray, I'm talking to God the Father. I don't need a priest for that. Jesus Christ is my high priest. He is my connection to God the Father. I have access to the throne room of heaven. I can talk to God. So let me just say this real fast in closing. You have this option. You could say, no, I don't want that gift. I don't need that. I don't need that Jesus Christ. That's good for you. That's great. But, you know, in this new modern world, I've learned too much. Man, I'm just not worried about that. If there's an eternity, I'm a good person. I get there on my own. That's not going to cut it, and that's not going to work. It's not going to work. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't want anything to do with your Christian heaven. Okay, well, the alternative is eternal damnation station. Eternal hell. Being separated from your God. Being separated from your Creator for all eternity. Well, this thing got dark real fast, didn't it? This is the reality. This is what Jesus Christ came to do. It's to set us free. So if you want to have eternal life, and I know you do, I'll do that when I get my ducks in a row. No, you're not, because you're not going to get your ducks in a row, man. But if you want to be forgiven of your sins, and you want to live forever, and I know you do, then I want you to say this prayer with me, and I want you to believe it. It doesn't matter if you see fireworks behind your eyes and you fall over and we go and eat and you're still laying on the floor 3 hours later. That's great. You might not feel anything. But if you say it or you pray it and you mean it, God takes you at that. God takes you at your word. So if you want to be saved, please repeat this prayer after me a minute. Father God, I am a sinner. I have broken your laws. I am guilty before a holy God. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior, and to help me serve you and obey you forever. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And I love you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you prayed that with me, welcome into the family of God. You're a Christian. That's a big deal. That's a real big deal. You just changed your eternal address. So you're a brand new